The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Anne White looked like a model Christian on the outside, but behind closed doors, her life was falling apart.
I had grown close to the Lord. I was teaching His Word. I could recite it to you inside and out. I could teach others, but I was still carrying around the baggage from my childhood. And that was keeping me from fully being free to embrace God's will for my life.
How God helped her find courage for life, next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Good to have you with us today. I can tell you one thing I've learned in my few years here on this earth. To get through life, we need some courage because there are things that are difficult to deal with, and there are things that we don't necessarily want to face. And if you're a believer, you know, we go to God, but sometimes it could be a little difficult to walk it out. So we're going to talk about courage for life today. That's the title of a new book written by my guest, Anne White. It's also the title of her ministry. What does that mean? And what are the practical steps that you and I can take to have the courage that we need? Anne, welcome to Life Today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So before we talk about the book, Courage for Life, I'd like to hear a little bit about your ministry, Courage for Life.
Sure. You know, Courage for Life was founded on the basic principle of emotional health and spiritual growth. So I was saved at 19. Fast forward, for 20 years, I was not discipled. Mm-hmm. And so that was a real hindrance for me, coming out of a dysfunctional childhood and just kind of being a wild child in my teenage years, just kind of looking to fill the void and find love, find acceptance, find hope. I found it when I was 19, but not being discipled, I didn't know what to do next. And so God just continued to grow me slowly. He was patient with me through the years, but it took a crisis in my life in my 30s to bring me to my knees and know that I needed God. And so where did I find Him? I found Him in His Word. I found Him certainly in the Holy Spirit, but I didn't understand that at the time either. A friend recommended I go and sit under Kay Arthur's teaching. I was living near Chattanooga, Tennessee, and just fell in love with her teaching. And then that's when I learned to study God's Word for myself, to read, study, understand, and apply it to my life in practical ways. Mm-hmm. And so it was life-changing.
Interesting. So this crisis, I know you talk about that a little bit in the book. Mm-hmm. Did you get through it? How did that turn out for you?
Certainly. Well, that was really the first crisis. And I think God brings us through valleys to grow us and prepare us for the next stage that He's going to allow us to go through. So as I dove into His Word and really grew closer to Him, I actually started teaching the Bible, going to seminary, I became just hungry and thirsty. Mm. And so I thought I had courage. I had the courage to go and do anything that I felt like I needed to do. But back in 2012, God let me come to the full end of my self-sufficiency. And I hit the floor at that point in time. You know, I had grown close to the Lord. I was teaching His Word. I could recite it to you inside and out. I could teach others, but I was still carrying around the baggage from my childhood. And that was keeping me from fully being free to embrace God's will for my life. I was still dealing with insecurities, codependency, boundary issues, all of these things. But yet I would walk into church, or I'd walk into my Sunday school class I was teaching, or on Wednesday nights, and I would pretend that everything was okay because I thought that's what a good Christian should look like.
Yeah, we do tend to do that. And that can be difficult. You know, it's interesting. One of the most famous, I think, quoted verses in Scripture about courage is be strong and courageous, that command, right? And if you look at the Israelites, they were set free from the slavery in Egypt. They had a promised land of protection and plenty, a place of blessing, right? Physical place. But they had to go through that desert. And it's all that baggage from Egypt that kept them from being obedient, kept them from applying God's word, got them going in circles, literally, right?
Literally for 40 years, correct.
And I think we can do that even in the church. We don't get to that place that God has promised for us, that we see that he's prepared for us, because we don't learn the lessons in the hard places.
That is so true. That is so true. So really what I talk about in the book is that next step where God allowed me to completely get to the end of my self-sufficiency. I was actually on a trip to Israel, and I was with my oldest son, who was in his 20s at the time. And we headed out to Israel. We were with our church group, with our pastor and his wife. And that end of the first day, we get to the hotel room, check in, and we're all settled in for the evening. And I go into my room. We're overlooking the Sea of Galilee, not a more beautiful place and a more spiritual place in the world. And I literally hit the floor. My marriage was on life support. I had made a mess of things just because I was an emotional mess. And so when you have unresolved unforgiveness, bitterness, hurt, pain, insecurities, all of the above, you tend to take that out on the people that you love the most. And so I literally just laid out on the floor and I said, God, I've been trying to fix this for as long as I can remember. I'd married my high school sweetheart when we were in our early 20s. And I just said, God, you've got to tell me what to do next, because I really just don't have a clue of what to do. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to write down the reality of your life, your situation, your state of being on that hotel letterhead that was sitting in the room. And I want you to take it to your pastor and his wife, who, by the way, had been great friends of my husband and I for over 15 years at that time. They had no clue how hard things were and how much we'd been through.
How'd that go?
Well, I just was resolved, you know. I was determined at that moment to do whatever God had told me to do. And so I wrote everything down. I remember leaving the room and probably more in a trance than anything, you know, just like, I'm not going to think about this, because if I do, I won't do it. I'll let Satan talk me out of it. So got on the elevator, went to their room, handed Janet the note, and she's, of course, saying, come on in. And I'm like, no, please read this. You know, I'm on life support emotionally, and I need you to read this and pray for me. And so I went back to my room. I don't even remember how I slept or if I slept that night, but I do remember getting up the next morning and regretting it, because I had not let anyone into my personal life ever, really. My family, my immediate family, but even the kids didn't really know. You know, you just tried. I learned that from my mom. Growing up in a dysfunctional household, my mom was the one who held us all together. And she just had that stature about her that, you know, was going to protect everybody and everything.
Right.
So that's what I did. I modeled that.
But you'd already let the secret out.
I had. And so as much as I tried to hide from them the next day, they finally found me and said, you know, Ann, we love you. Yeah. We're here for you. Yeah. And we'll help you get the help and do whatever you need to do to get better.
And you did.
And I did.
And out of that.
And I did.
Okay.
Out of that. Right. So fast forward, that became courage for life, because I always felt courageous.
Yeah.
But at that point in time, I had the courage to take a risk. And that's what I like to explain. Today, I believe courage is taking a necessary risk and trusting God with the outcomes. Because when we want to control the outcome or know the outcome, it's not really a risk.
Yeah, right.
And it doesn't take a lot of courage.
That's a true statement. All right. So I have here the word courage from your book.
Yeah.
All right. There's an acronym that you use. 7 steps.
Yes.
That will help. And, you know, it's funny. You mentioned the lowest point that you're in, where you're literally, you know, you're broken down. You're on your face before God. You're pleading for help. Mm-hmm. And we do feel like that's the worst moment. But if you look back with God, that's the best moment.
It's the best moment I could have ever gone through.
Yeah, so I mean, I would
thank God for it.
I and you know what? I hear that consistently. Mm-hmm. And I've experienced that. And I would say to anybody who's watching right now, if you feel like, man, I'm so desperate, I'm watching Christian television, you know, you understand that if you don't typically watch it. But if you are at that moment where you just feel like you're out and you're turning to God, you're doing exactly the right thing. There's a prayer line if you want to talk to somebody. And talking to people helps. God put us in community for a reason. We'd love to pray with you. But you got to talk to God as well. And you got to be honest, like Ann's talking about. And here's the great news. He is with you. He will walk you through that. And He will give you the courage to have a life that you can't fully understand or see right now. But I hear testimony after testimony, just like the one today, of God doing that. So if you're in that place, it's going to be good. Just give yourself over to this. Now, here's some practical things you can do. The first one you've kind of touched on, mm-hmm. the C in courage.
Commit to change. I made that commitment that very night, and I said, there's no turning back. I am going to do whatever God says because I needed to change.
Yeah.
And then the next was the O step, okay. which is overcome obstacles. The mm-hmm. first obstacle I needed to overcome was isolation. I had isolated myself, and I was a leader, I was a teacher, I was all the things, but I needed to find safe people in my life. And like you said, there's people here at the station, you know, for those who are in need of prayer, in need of help, in need of guidance.
Yeah.
I needed that at that moment, and God led me to two wonderful, safe people right. who have been a godsend in my life.
And that's critical. Isolation is a tool of the enemy.
Amen.
And if you look at even the secular mental health experts, they will tell you that isolation is one of the worst things you can do.
So it is.
I'd like to try to hit as many of these as we can so people
can
get an idea, but just know that we're kind of touching on the surface here. There's steps you can take to do these. So let's hit the U.
So these are the steps I took.
Okay.
And they are practical and easy, yeah. and we do go chapter by chapter and break them down and give. So the U step is uncover your true self. You know, I always saw myself, you know, in a negative light because that's what I had grown up with. And that's what the messages that I continue to repeat in my head. And I saw myself as the world would see me, not as God sees me. And so as we're in the prison systems and working with people in trauma and working with people all around the world in discipleship, we try to tell them we've got to hone in and see ourselves the way God sees us through His lens.
That is so critical.
And
here's the hard part about that. The self that we believe to be our true self mm-hmm. in some ways is our true self. In other words, we are that person. We've been that person. We've done those things. We're guilty, guilty, guilty. But God comes along mm-hmm. and redefines.
Amen.
And that's what I think you're saying is, look, you got to allow God to redefine who mm-hmm. you are, not who you kind of know you are, mm-hmm. because that's scriptural. Scriptural is that we become a new creation.
Yes. And it confines us mm-hmm. to God's will, and it keeps us from truly embracing the things, the opportunities that He has for
that's
us.
That's so true.
The next one is the R step, which is replace worldly lies with scriptural truth. Mm-hmm. So if you believe the lie that you're not good enough, because I did, mm-hmm. you know, or that you deserve the life that you've got because you've done things in your life to deserve that.
Right.
Those are lies. Mm. And you replace them with scriptural truth. So that was an exercise that I worked through with my counselor. And so in the book, we have the top 20 worldly lies, and we've replaced them with scriptural truth.
Oh, man.
And so if the enemy tries to trick you again and say, you're not good enough, what makes you think you can do this? And I say, I reject that lie. The truth is, I am valuable and worthy of all good works because God says I am. And
right.
so we just retrain and reprogram that thought process.
Yeah, I could spend the entire program talking about those 20 lies.
Yeah. Certainly.
But, so you mentioned one. What would be another very common one that you just have to say, you know, I'm going to agree with God. That is a lie.
Yeah. So another worldly lie, and I would even call this a lie that we believe sometimes in our church. God and me, that's all I need. That was one of my lies.
Wow.
I thought, God and I can handle it. If I just pour more Jesus on it, it's going to go away.
Mm.
And it won't. The brokenness I needed to process and understand in order to heal, I needed to understand how I developed those negative coping skills mm-hmm. and those boundary issues in order to stop letting them wreak havoc on my life.
So did you do that with friends, with a counselor?
With the counselor. And so I was in 2 years or more in counseling. And so when I felt God telling me to write a book, it was not my first choice. But I said, okay, Lord, I want to write the book that I needed to read, because not everyone can go into the intensive counseling that I did to break that down, but they can take these practical steps and begin breaking them down on their own.
That's good. And you're right. And I think a lot of that, especially in the church environment, comes from that pressure to be who you, because they'll say you're a hypocrite if you admit your faults, right? Mm-hmm. But if you look through scripture, I mean, it is God has put us in community, and sometimes we hate it. And sometimes the people we're in community with, we kind of don't like. But God always works, as my dad says, God works his perfect will through imperfect people.
He does.
And my personality type, me and God, good, that's all I need. I'm totally right there. But man, I've learned what you're saying is that you got to get in the community, and you got to get with people who trust. Mm-hmm. You got to listen to people who are further along in their spiritual maturity than you are. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can stress community enough, so I appreciate that.
I agree. God didn't design us to walk this journey alone. The A step was probably my least favorite step. That's accept the things we cannot change. I thought I could change everybody in my life. I could fix my kids. I could fix my husband. And I quickly learned that there's one person I can change, and that's me. But when I change, everything around me begins to change. When I change for the better, it's a ripple effect. I needed them to be what I needed them to be, you know, for my needs. And I didn't realize it at the time.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you're going to shake a lot of people up if they dig into this.
It's true. Well, you know, we're in the prison systems, and I've been so surprised at how life-changing these steps have been for many of our inmates. We're in 39 states. With our printed resources, we have audio Bibles that are all female-voiced for our girls and the men as well who have been wounded by men in their life. It's a trigger for them.
Interesting.
And so they really find this very soothing and comforting. And so on the tablets, they're there. We have our in-person classes, and we have discipleship, digital discipleship throughout the world. Okay. But going to those last two steps, I'll say those really briefly. Yeah. Grasp God's love for you and embrace a life of grace, which is the forgiveness part. Mm. That's a step we all have to take to see others as broken vessels in the same way that we're broken.
Yeah. All right, so I know we've hit these real quickly. I will tell you now, you can get Ann's book wherever you get books. You can also get it when you support our mission outreach, I'll tell you about in a second. But Ann, last question for you.
Yes.
Because you've done this. Mm-hmm. You've helped other people do this. For the person they're kind of curious right now, but they just don't know if they can go down this path and really change, you know, have the courage. What encouragement would you give them that this is a path that will lead to things that are better?
I would absolutely tell you that no matter what God is calling you to today, you can have that courage. He'll give you the courage to do it, but you don't have to understand it and know every step right off the bat. Take a moment with the Lord and ask Him, what is the first step that you need to take in your journey toward courage for life?
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah, this has been great. Now, listen, again, I would love to send you the book today, Courage for Life, just to help walk you or your loved ones through the difficulties of life, because the change that God promises really is good. It really is worth it. We're going to ask you to do something for someone else today. I want you to see the story of a woman that typifies many women that we help. And the only way we help them is through your support. So watch this and you'll see how you can help be the change for someone else that they desperately need.
Small communities are often built around water sources. But for Ung Ron, a mother of three, her village is serviced by a well of sorrows. Ung Rong's weekly struggle often becomes secondary to the needs of her children. They too become sick due to the contaminated water. She takes them on her bicycle for a 2-hour journey to reach the nearest medical clinic. She always promises to pay them back, continuing an ongoing cycle of dependence and debt. Like any mother, Ung Rong has dreams for her children. Although she herself cannot read or write, it is the longing of her heart for her children to do so. But far too often, their schooling is cut short. Ung Rong and her children, like so many others across Cambodia, do all they can to survive each day. But in the end, it is the compassion of others that can make real change in their lives.
You know, in places around the world where there is that abject poverty, it's hard to understand how difficult circumstances are for them. I've seen it in many places, and so I have a little bit of an understanding. But I want to let you know that you may think that a gift today, your support for Water for Life, would be small. But in a place that's so desperate, your simple act of compassion, of love, of sacrifice, it makes a huge impact. And when you do that over and over, as Water for Life does, you start to change villages. And when you start to change villages, you change countries, you change cultures. You go from a culture of death to a culture of life. And I've been in this position long enough now to be able to actually see that in places. It only happens because of people who aren't just viewers, they are participants in this huge blessing. Our goal this year is another 350 wells. My heart would be for way more than that, but we do set that goal. We can reach that goal with your support. We'll be in about 20 nations this year. And the idea is that we go in and we drill a water well. A typical one costs about $4,800 because we go through layers and layers sometimes, depending on where we're at, of rock or sand, whatever. We get down to the clean water. That's the critical part. And then we draw that water up. We build a well that's going to last about 70 years on average. We put an encasement over it so it doesn't get contaminated. We put that pump there so that people can easily get the water out. We let them know that viewers like you sent us there to bless them because of our love that Christ gives us. So here's what I would like to ask you to do today. If you could help give 10 people clean drinking water for life with a gift of $48, it really will make a huge difference. A gift of $144 would serve 30 people clean water for life. Some of you might be able to drill a well or come together with two or three others. Your gift today goes so far. I want you to see that. It changes lives. It gives people new hope and new life. And it's interesting that mother said she wants it for her friends and for her village. You change not just the life of a mother or her children. You change villages. Will you do that today? Will you go online or go to the phone, however you prefer? Make the best gift you can and know that this day is the day that you will give a new opportunity to someone in desperate need.
Every day, far too many lives are lost to waterborne disease. And tragically, children under the age of 5 are the most vulnerable. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give desperate mothers hope and precious children a future by helping provide clean, life-giving water before it's too late. Our goal this year is to drill 350 water wells in areas where the need is greatest. But it won't be possible without you. Today, your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. In thanks for your gift of any amount, we'll send you Prayers for My Spiritual Health. This beautifully crafted prayer book will meet you in the places where anxiety, grief, and spiritual weariness run deep, guiding you through prayers for inner peace, emotional healing, and intimacy with God. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Your Life of Prayer bundle. This collection includes Prayers for My Spiritual Health, along with Prayers for My Physical Health and the Life Prayer Journal, three companions to help strengthen your walk with Christ. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our inspiring bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hey, everybody, won't you stand with everyone here at Life Outreach International in their magnificent Water for Life program, helping people all over the world, millions of people, have clean water. That's what Jesus would want us to do.
I do hope you will go online or go to the phone. Make the best gift you can. We can only give people Water for Life with your support. And today, as we give Water for Life, we can have Courage for Life. And by the way, courageforlife.org is the website. And what else there at courageforlife.org?
Yes, you can go to our app on Android or Apple devices. Just download the Courage for Life Bible.
Very cool.
On your device. It's free. And you'll have access to all of our teaching, all our discipleship resources, all of our videos, our print, our Bibles, everything. You can find it there at Courage for Life.
Thank you for sharing with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
And thank you for being with me. I hope we'll see you again next time. You can catch all of our shows at lifetoday.org. We'll see you again.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news from all of the outreaches of Life. Subscribe, follow, like, and get the Life Today social media experience.
And if that's the one message I could tell the younger Danny, is that Jesus is the one who can save you. And you don't have to fight this battle alone.
Danny Gokey, next week.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.